This is Chubby Snow. You probably don't recognize him, but this adorable little guy holds a special place in my heart as one of my favorite pieces of obscure Nintendo history. Now, if you don't remember Chubby, that's okay. Almost nobody does. Even among diehard Nintendo fans, Chubby is not well known at all, in part because Chubby and the game he starred in were actually designed to be forgotten. Let's set the scene. It's November 2006, and whether Nintendo knows it or not, they're about to have the most important holiday season in the company's 110-year history. Nintendo has just launched the Wii, a platform that will go on to sell over 100 million units and become the company's best-selling home console of all time, and the DS is on track to sell 20 million handhelds this year alone, a runaway success for the company. So, heading into this critical holiday season, Nintendo celebrated by launching a unique online promotion, a playable video game to promote their winter lineup of titles. Its name was Yupixo in Action: Mission in Snowdrift Land. And this promotion had an incredibly cool twist. Depending on where you grew up, maybe you've heard of advent calendars, those seasonal little calendars given to kids in December, meant to count down the days until Christmas, often with some kind of small gift given each and every day. The gifts are usually something small. In my childhood, we got cardboard advent calendars with a small piece of chocolate behind each door, but I've seen versions with jelly beans, miniature Lego kits, and even small hand-wrapped presents. And it was this exact Yuletide tradition that served as the inspiration for Mission in Snowdrift Land. The game was structured exactly like an advent calendar. Beginning with the game's launch on December 1st, a new door would open up every single day on missioninsnowdriftland.com, and behind each door would be a brand new level to play. This game was legitimately something special. The stages themselves were short but sweet, just this perfect little platforming challenge to look forward to every afternoon, replete with hidden items and collectibles, even hidden heart containers you could get that would permanently increase your health for the rest of December. There was a remarkable amount of variety in this game too. Every level seemed to introduce some new mechanic, idea, or enemy for you to deal with, so things never got boring. Now, as cool as this concept is on paper, none of this would have mattered if the game wasn't fun to play. And if you, like me, played Flash games back in the 2000s, you probably developed a pretty healthy and justified suspicion towards Flash-based platforming games. Out of every genre attempted in Flash over the years, platformers, for whatever reason, seemed to be the trickiest to get right. Perhaps it was just the shortcomings of this web animation technology, but platformers built in Flash almost always felt wrong. More often than not, they were these unpolished and clunky games, just a pale imitation of their console counterparts. And that's the thing that made Mission in Snowdrift Land stand out to me as a kid. It was shockingly polished. The controls felt excellent. They perfectly split the balance between too slippery and too stiff, with just the right amount of floatiness. The game gave you a remarkable amount of influence over things like your jump height and your mid-air control, both of which were hugely helpful, by the way, in the icy world of Snowdrift Land. Whoever created this game had nailed the essential thing about platformers. It was easy to pick up and play, but with plenty of space to learn and get good at the game, so eventually, a skilled enough player could bounce off multiple enemies in a row and make it look easy. Believe it or not, Mission in Snowdrift Land actually had some decent replay value too. Each level had 24 hidden snowflakes to collect, and there was a helpful indicator on the calendar map to tell you which days you had already accomplished that on. And you know what? Even from a marketing perspective, I think Mission in Snowdrift Land was kind of brilliant. Every stage in the game was tied to a specific Nintendo game available that holiday season, ranging from Twilight Princess to Trauma Center to WarioWare Smooth Moves. And by successfully clearing a game's designated stage, you were rewarded by unlocking all sorts of goodies like wallpapers, packs of desktop icons, even pre-smartphone ringtones for your cell phone. To be honest, I feel like I'm only just scratching the surface here of what made Snowdrift Land feel so magical to me. This game is brimming with personality, whether it's the adorable character designs and pixel art, the enemies, or the perfectly wintry chiptune soundtrack. In fact, one of my first YouTube uploads ever on this very same channel was a video I posted on Christmas Eve 14 years ago showing how to find a heart container hidden on level 6 of Mission in Sodriftland. It's crazy to think that I've been on YouTube for that long, but here we are. What I'm trying to say is that I really, really loved this game. There was just something nice about having a new level, a new little platforming challenge to look forward to playing after school every day. It was this great idea, and tying it into unlocking neat downloadable goodies from some of my favorite Nintendo titles made the whole thing even better to the teenage Nintendo fanboy I was at the time. But perhaps most of all, the thing that made Mission in Snowdriftland feel so urgent to me as a kid was the knowledge that in just a few short weeks, it would vanish. The main menu of Mission in Snowdriftland spelled it out clearly, quote, "Mission in Snowdriftland will be available online until January 14th. A friendly way of warning players that soon, just a month after launch, the game would disappear forever. I played as much of this game as possible before it disappeared, and sure enough, when I checked back in mid-January, the game had vanished, replaced with a short message. Many thanks for playing, we're looking forward to seeing you again. And just like that, Mission in Snowdriftland was gone, available for only 47 days before disappearing entirely. 47 days, that's it! It really kind of makes Mario 3D All-Stars look downright attainable by comparison, doesn't it? At any rate, as of January 2007, the game had disappeared, and those of us who loved it assumed that we'd never see it again. And that assumption was correct. For a while. See, in December 2010, four Christmases later, the game returned for one final December, this time celebrating a bunch of the indie games available on WiiWare. And fans of Mission in Snowdriftland, myself included, were overjoyed to see the game return. Heck, some of us were even excited. And as great as it was to play the game again, before long, it was January, and just as quickly as it had reappeared, Mission in Snowdriftland once again vanished. This time, for good. It is now 2020. The last time Nintendo surfaced Mission in Sodriftland was 10 years ago, and for the past decade, the game has been completely absent. Looking at the Lost Media wiki page for the game, it reads like a Wikipedia article for a deceased celebrity, describing the game in the past tense with words like was. The game's page on the Lost Media Archive wiki tells a similar story, quote, "The original game's 2006 Nintendo levels are now gone forever. It also seems like the 2010 revival is gone as well." Even the game's original website, missioninsnowdriftland.com, is now totally blank, with no signs the game ever existed beyond a small favicon of Chubby Snow's face. As far as we knew, nobody had played the game in nearly a decade, and so, on the Lost Media Wiki, it was marked in bold red letters as lost. A conclusive and disheartening monument to a game it seemed no one would play again. Over the past 14 years, I've gone back every once in a while to watch the crummy, low-resolution video I uploaded back in 2006 to try and remember things about Mission in Snowdriftland, what the music sounded like, what the later stages were like, how it felt to play the game, but truthfully, the memory had begun to fade. But then, after 8 long, cold years of nothingness, there was a glimmer of hope. In December 2018, just 3 days before Christmas, a member of SpritersResource.com going by the name P-P quietly uploaded full sprite sheets of every single art asset in Mission in Snowdriftland. The enemies, the level tile sets, even Chubby Snow himself. This anonymous person seemingly had access to every single bit of pixel art in the game, despite no one having seen head nor tail of Mission in Snowdrift Land since 2010. In the comments section, somebody asked, "Where did you rip all these sprites from? This game hasn't been online in several years, but the recentness of this rip is getting my hopes up." A few hours later, P-P responded, "It's actually still available from the developer's own website right here. All the stages seem to be unlocked year-round, too." Wait, seriously? It's just been there all along? Now, to be honest, FreezeAir's reaction, "Wait, seriously?" That perfectly mirrored my own reaction. How on earth could this be true? This was a game that, back in 2006, countless people had tried and failed to download for offline play. This was a game that had its 1 month lifespan seemingly hard-coded into its design. A game that people like myself and FreezeAir had spent the better part of the past decade scouring the internet for. And it was right there, available for everyone on the developer's website this entire time? Could it really be so simple? The answer, of course, was no. It was not nearly that simple. But we'll get to that later. After reading this comment, I froze. I moused over the link, crossing my fingers that this treasured game from my childhood would somehow be waiting for me on the other side, and I clicked. Years after this game had first disappeared from my life, I had finally found it again. And better still, it was exactly as fun as I remembered. And you might expect the story to end there. After all, the game had been recovered, right? That's what I thought too. But unbeknownst to me, there was something bigger lurking on the horizon. See, what I didn't yet know was that Mission in Snowdrift Land was on the brink of vanishing all over again. And this time, it wouldn't be coming back. Mission in Snowdrift Land is really special to me. So early on in this project, I knew that I had to at least try and speak to the people who created this game. So back in April, I began trying to track down the guy responsible for the project, and after a lot of dead ends, I finally found the person I was looking for, a German game designer by the name of Steve Veltz. I reached out to Steve via an old email address I'd uncovered, hoping we could chat about the game, but unfortunately, I never heard back. 1 week later, I even tried one more time to follow up with him, and I told myself that if this didn't work, that was it. Either this email address had long been abandoned, or Steve just wasn't interested in discussing some old Flash game he worked on 14 years ago. So imagine my surprise when, less than 1 hour after that second email, I got a reply. Quote, "Sorry for my late reply. I'm just pretty busy at the moment, unfortunately not with game dev, but we could probably speak at the weekend sometime. The subject Mission in Snowdrift Land is not so easy since the team is not working together, and I don't know what I can tell you without asking the other guys. However, I'll try to explain it then." Intrigued, I scheduled a time to chat with Steve, and before long, I found myself face to face with a guy responsible for a pretty big chunk of my childhood, finally able to ask him the questions I'd held for over a decade.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, sounds great.
Ah, cool. Hi.
How did Mission in Snowdrift Land end up happening? Like, how did it come together?
That's a really good question, because it was kind of a miracle. We used to work with Nintendo together already as an online agency. So we did the websites for games. And I was building in my kind of free time a jump run engine, a platform engine in Flash, and I used the Mario sprite from Super Mario World. you said it was so precise, the engine and everything, and this was because I really tried to make it like a Mario game. So really, it's, the focus was the gameplay, and we really tried to make it good. Because many platforms and internet made by Flash are not so nice, really slow jumping, and we really hate it because we are gamer and we know what's important. So so we really wanted to make it great. We got the idea to make an advent calendar, and we offered this to Nintendo. And we said, like, yeah, for each day we have one small level. And this was a nice idea, and the project manager was really keen about it. But it's still a miracle, because nowadays it would be impossible, because everything needs to be approved by Japan. And at that time, the project manager, it was from Nintendo of Germany, and she was so, let's do this. Okay, cool. And then we asked the other countries, and a few of them said, yeah, we are in. And so that was the start of the project.
One of the craziest things Steve revealed to me was that the game wasn't actually built far in advance like you might have assumed. Steve was actually creating the game's levels in real time over the course of December 2006.
It wasn't like we finished the game and then Christmas time started. It was like we made up like, I don't know, 3-4 levels before the calendar starts. And then we had to create one level for the next day.
Oh my god. Essentially, Steve and his team were building a plane while they were flying it, creating each level on the fly, sometimes just hours before they were set to go live. This process, it turns out, was exactly as grueling as it sounds.
I did the level design and the programming. So, and even for, we have like 4 worlds there, and you get the new feature, like the tilting platform and stuff. And I had to integrate them into the engine and to do the bug fixing in like one day. And so,
oh my gosh.
It was super intense, and we worked in the office like until 3-4 o'clock in the night, of course. And it was really fun, but it was exhausting. My colleague Borch, he did the graphic, the animation and stuff. Mm. And then we had, it's my daughter.
Hi. Hi.
This is Nick. Hello, this is Yumi.
Hello, Yumi?
Yeah, she's half Japanese.
Ah, nice to meet you.
She's the reason why I was late.
It's totally, totally fine. It's a good reason. Oh my god, she's so cute. The advent calendar with a new level every day concept is so cool to me. And I definitely felt like it was a challenging thing to execute, but where did that idea come from specifically?
I don't remember actually, we just had the idea, because it's kind of obvious when you think about to make an advent calendar, mm-hmm. and you have the game engine, what can you do with it? You know, it's kind of obvious when you have to do those two components. Mm-hmm. Bye bye. And I don't remember exact how the idea came, but it was kind of obvious.
The team at Extra Toxic was, and still is to this day, small. Steve did all the level design and coding, his friend Boaj Saryadin did all the artwork and animation, their colleague Kristana Fritsch handled project management, and last but definitely not least, they hired a musician named Fabian Del Priora to compose the soundtrack.
For the music, we had at first something in mind, like the new Super Mario Bros. DS soundtrack. But it didn't fit too well. So then I composed something more like demo scene music. I used Mickey Tracker to track the music for the game. This is quite like making music for the Commodore, Amiga, or the Super Nintendo, or the Nintendo DS.
Now, the music in Mission in Snowdrift Land is one of the most nostalgic aspects of the game for me. Not only did all four of the game's worlds have its own score, but within those worlds, there were roughly four unique variations of each world's theme, so you never heard the same song 2 days in a row. Now, according to Steve, the rigorous process of building and releasing a new level for Mission in Snowdrift Land every single day actually had some unexpected benefits.
We started to integrate a feedback formula after 3 or 4 days, and then we got a lot of good feedback. Each minute, new email came in, people saying that it's so great what you're doing, they have a lot of fun with the game, and this was pushing us to do this, and this was kind of reward for us.
One thing I knew I had to ask Steve about was this link to the game that had been uncovered in 2018.
I noticed that in 2018, like, people found a working link of the game that still worked on the Extra Toxic site.
Really?
And I'm curious if you know anything about, like, did you know that it was still up there, that it was still available?
Yeah, though the thing is, we have it in our portfolio for our agency things, and it's still there, but actually it's password protected, as far as I know. So I'm a bit wondering why it's accessible for public.
Okay. Well, promise me you won't take it down.
If the people can enjoy it, I'm fine with it.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And by the way, I did eventually get to the bottom of who first discovered this copy. While putting this video together, I noticed that I had a new private message on the Spriders resource, and upon clicking it, remembered that 5 months ago, I sent a message to P-P asking her to confirm my theory that she's the one who found the copy. And it turns out P-P had gone on her own journey. Quote, "That was me, yeah. I really wanted to rip the sprites from it and play it again, so I went on a long search to see if there was any kind of backup available. Eventually, on Extra Toxic's website under references, I found this image, and curious to see what else I could find, but honestly just expecting a permission denied, I simply got rid of the file name in the URL, and, well, there it was. Almost couldn't believe it at first. Hope this answer helps in some way, and thank you too. I'm really glad that I was able to find it, but even happier to find that people care." So, unbeknownst to him, unbeknownst to everybody at Extra Toxic, the game had been made reaccessible completely on accident. Another interesting thing Steve told me, it turns out his agency, Extra Toxic, retains all the rights to Mission in Snowdrift Land. They actually own it.
Of course, it was kind of impossible that we create characters for Nintendo. So, basically, this game is not made by Nintendo, or not even for Nintendo, it's just made by Extra Toxic, our agency, and we offered Nintendo space for advertisement.
Well, it's so much fun to talk to you. It's so cool to meet the person behind the game that, like, meant this much to me. even as a 16-year-old, I knew, I was like, something is special about this game. Like, this was made by somebody who loves and cares about platformers and how games should feel. It was apparent right away. Like, this, it was a labor of love, I think.
Oh, nice said, yeah. Yeah, we put all of our passion, game development passion inside, because we are so willing to create games. That's why this was our first chance to make a bigger game. And so this was the big chance for us to do something great, and we put everything we have here.
Speaking with Steve was a delight, and it reaffirmed for me what I already knew, that this game was worth finding a way to save somehow. And it turns out, we only had a limited amount of time to accomplish this. See, maybe you've heard the news that on December 31st, 2020, that's less than a week from today, Adobe Flash is going away forever. Starting in 2021, support for Flash is being removed from Google Chrome, Opera, Microsoft Edge, Firefox, and every single major web browser for security reasons. Now, if you've looked into this news at all, chances are you've heard about a fantastic piece of software called Blue Maxima's Flashpoint. This incredible tool, designed specifically to combat the 2021 death of Flash, functions as an archive that allows you to run literally tens of thousands of Flash games right on your desktop. The Flashpoint Project has done a remarkable job of preserving huge swaths of Flash game history and preventing them from being destroyed. And I'm happy to report, among the 70,000 plus games backed up in the Flashpoint launcher is, you guessed it, Mission in Snowdrift Land. And it appears to work perfectly. However, there's a major problem. See, while playing Mission in Snowdrift Land recently, I noticed something peculiar. For some reason, every time you load a level in the game, there's this brief loading screen with a progress bar. And strangely, even when playing the game completely offline using Flashpoint, there's still a loading time of a couple of seconds before each level, which wouldn't make sense if it was running off of my SSD. This worried me. It almost seemed as though the game was connecting to the internet. So I decided to run an experiment. I booted up Mission in Snowdrift Land, went to the level select screen like usual, but this time I installed an internet kill switch on my PC to see whether the game would still work. So I went to the level select, flipped the kill switch on, disconnecting my internet, selected the first level of Mission in Snowdrift Land, and it wouldn't load. This was exactly what I was afraid of. Apparently, whenever you start a level in Mission in Snowdrift Land, the game has to connect to the internet and download the level each and every time you play. This was a troubling revelation. It meant that were the servers storing the game to ever shut down, every single level of Mission in Snowdrift Land would be permanently gone forever. Not only was this upsetting from a preservation standpoint, it was also pretty confusing. I needed to know why on earth was the game set up this way. So I asked Steve.
So a lot of my videos lately have centered around preservation of old games. And I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me like that game checks online and downloads the levels online every time you play it, right?
I mean, the whole site is downloaded.
Right. The reason I bring that up is somebody made this application, and it has like 45,000 old Flash games in it, because Flash is going away at the end of 2020. Like, it's being perma-blocked by all browsers. And I downloaded the Flashpoint version of Mission in Snowdrift Land and then cut off my internet access right when it gets to the part where it's like loading a level, and it won't load. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's like checking with the extra toxic server, probably, to like grab the levels. I guess my fear is that someday no one will be able to play it, and I never want that to happen.
So the thing is, I remember now why we had this to do for a security reason, because many sites from Russia also were taking the game and integrating in their Flash web collection site and without any credits, also in kind of iframe. So that's why maybe it's not working.
It turns out Steve and his team had designed Mission in Snowdrift Land to download individual stages in order to prevent the game from being pirated on other sites, essentially building a primitive version of Always Online DRM into this ancient Flash game. This was a tricky problem to solve, and what proved trickier was the fact that there was no straightforward way for Steve to remove the server checks from the current version. After our interview, I asked Steve about this possibility of making a standalone version of the game via email, and here's what he told me. Quote, "Hey Nick, as longer I think about the idea to preserve the original game, the more difficult it seems. The main issue is the legal part with the Nintendo material. We can't just publish the game like it was. Of course, we could modify the contents with placeholder or so, but that would not be the same. And although Steve's concerns were totally understandable, there is, after all, a tremendous amount of Nintendo branding and assets in the original 2006 Flash version. It was still a bummer to think that this game might just up and disappear someday." Miraculously, though, the story doesn't end there. A few weeks after our interview, I got an email from Steve telling me that our conversation had given him an idea, and that he had some big news to share with me. Curious what he could be talking about, I hopped onto another video chat with Steve for one last conversation. And this time, he was joining me live from the Extra Toxic offices alongside Mission in Snowdrift Land artist Boaj Saridan. Steve, when you and I last spoke, we kind of raised the possibility of how Mission in Snowdrift Land could be preserved for the future and how the game could, like the possibility of maybe making a standalone version. But in the past few months, it sounds like your plans have evolved into something pretty exciting. So where are we at currently with the state of Mission in Snowdrift Land's future?
Well, so to preserve the web side of the game, it's a bit difficult due to legal issues with Nintendo and also technical issues. So the idea came up to make a port, a proper port with a proper game engine, and to bring it to Steam or so, to have a really nice game experience, like full screen, 60 frames per second. Yeah, we were really curious how it feels to play Chubby full screen. So we started to port the game actually. It will take some time, but we are targeting next year, winter. And we think, it might be possible.
Yes, you heard that right. Steve and Boaj have decided to create a full, high-definition, 60fps remaster of the original Mission in Snowdrift Land with the goal to release it on Steam in winter 2021. And it's being announced right now in this video you're watching. This is very real. In fact, just last month, I got an email from Steve titled Mission in Snowdrift Land Playable Alpha with a link to an early version of the game's first level in the new engine they've built. Starting webcam recording. Oh, I'm excited. Okay. I'm about to open this new remastered version of one of my favorite childhood games that the developers have sent me. I have not played this yet. I'm just gonna hop into it and see how it matches up with my memory, I guess. Oh my god. That music. Yep. Oop. Instantly taking damage. Yep. I mean, it all feels how I remember it. This is such a... The fact that this exists is so insane to me. This first level in particular, I remember so vividly because I've played it so many times. This is so cool. I feel like these snow effects are new, or maybe they were less noticeable in like that tiny 300 pixel wide window. Oh my god. It's got, you know what? It's got that thing that I think all good remastered versions of games have, where it's like, I know objectively that it never looked this good, but this is how I remember it looking, which is all I really wanted. All right, finishing the level here. I want to get these snowflakes, hold on. Let's do it. The little dance, dude. Still does the dance animation. Jeez. I'm a little bit speechless. Ah, that's so cool.
People will probably be curious about this. Because the original iteration of this game is associated with Nintendo in people's minds, they might wonder, how is it possible to release it on Steam?
Yeah, well, it was like we created the game and made some advertising space for Nintendo so they could promote their games. It was more like a platform or portal for them.
There's not really that big connection with Nintendo. Like maybe when you were as a kid, it was maybe for you like a product of Nintendo or many others, I think so, but it was actually a marketing tool made by us.
Currently you're thinking of a PC release. Is there any possibility of it being, is it coming to other platforms like the Switch?
We would love to see it on Switch, but it's a long way. We are open for it, I think. You know, it would be nice and fit to the console, but we can't promise anything right now.
Truthfully, my head is still spinning from this experience. Ever since I was a kid, this game has been flickering in and out of existence, unexpectedly popping into my life in 2006, then vanishing for 4 years, then briefly reappearing in 2010 before disappearing for another decade. One of my favorite games from childhood has spent the majority of the past 14 years completely inaccessible to the general public. And now, it's coming back. A moment I keep coming back to is that Skype conversation with Steve and Boaj at their office. You mentioned that you actually might have somewhere the level designs all printed out. Like, oh, there goes...
on the backside.
Oh, yeah? Is that where Boaj went? Whoa!
There are three levels hanging on our walls.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, it's been so great talking to both of you. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, and thanks to you, because you're the reason why I actually got the idea to make the pod, to bring Chubby back alive. Yeah. That's really nice to speak to you and to get the motivation to recreate it.
It's clear that this game holds some really cherished memories for these guys, of a time early on in their careers when they stumbled upon an opportunity to make a game that would be played and loved by hundreds of thousands of people, and wound up really pouring their heart and souls into it as a result. And just, I don't know, man, the knowledge that there's this small, cozy office somewhere in Germany where the creators of this game that I loved as a kid have memorabilia from it hanging on the wall a full 14 years later just really warms my heart. Originally, I set out to make this video because I felt like there was a unique opportunity here. Beyond just my own personal nostalgia, I felt like we had a responsibility to save this game from the brink of annihilation, to, if you'll forgive the winter pun, freeze it in time permanently and preserve this small, ephemeral piece of video game history for future generations. And while the task of preserving the original Flash version of this game is going to fall on us, the public, the fact that we're getting that and a remastered version of this platformer that meant so much to me and I'm sure countless other people just makes me incredibly happy. To think that firing off that random casual email to Steve way back in May could somehow produce a snowball effect culminating in a full-fledged 60 FPS remaster of one of my favorite childhood games still hardly makes any sense to me. At long last, Chubby the Snowman will finally be breaking free of the shackles of his advent calendar time prison. And considering he served a 168-month sentence, I think I speak for all of us when I say, welcome back, Chubby. Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, by the way, the Steam page for Mission in Snowdrift Land will be going up within just a couple days, so click right up here if you'd like to be taken right to that page. Or if you're here early, you can click the link in the description to get a handy email reminder to notify you the minute the page goes live. Huge thanks to Boaj and Steve for helping to pull this little Christmas miracle together. And thanks to all of you for supporting me making videos like this by joining as a channel member. By clicking the join button, you get access to one bonus video each month, including audio commentary tracks, bonus features, and more. Happy holidays, everyone.